So like I mentioned, it's a double parsha, double Torah portion, Chukas Bala. So we're going to talk about a piece in Parshas Chukas, which talks about the Shiras HaBe'er. Shiras HaBe'er is the song that the Jewish nation sang about the fact that they merited to have the well of Miriam. That means the whole 40 years when they were in the Midbar, the 40 years, the way they got their water, the way they drank, was from this miraculous well which came in the merit of Miriam. And it was this well that they sang a song about at the end of the 40 years. So we're going to talk about a couple of questions that stick out, that stand out about this Shira. And by the way, there's the amount of, how many Shiras do we have in the Torah? How many different Shiras throughout Tanakh? How many different places do we have that they sang Shira?
There's about four, maybe five.
Four, maybe five. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, that there's actually 10. But I don't know what the 10 are. But I didn't look into this. I just remember that there's about 10 Shiras. Maybe there's eight.
Okay.
Let's just say the ones that we know. I don't know more than four, but I think if you go through Tanakh, the first Shira we know about is, the reason why we're saying four is because there are other songs that are not, we don't know them as songs. For example, we know that other Marishan, when it came Shabbos, he sang a song. And that song was called Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, that we say, from Tehillim. But that officially was what other Marishan sang. So it could be it's counting those types of songs. But the first Shira that we have is when they went through the Yamsif, the splitting of the sea, they sang Shira. The other one we have is right over here, which is called Shira Sabe'er, the Shira of the Well, which we're going to talk about tonight. Very profound what we're about to learn. And then
there's only two songs at the sea. You've got Miriam's song.
As well as the song of the sea. That's true. Right. Maybe that's counted as two. Right. Miriam sang with a woman. They sang their own.
Right.
That's a true point.
Let's give them their due. It's okay.
Yeah, I hear that. And then we have, the whole Azinu is basically one entire long song. Yeah. And then you have through David sang a song. Of course, Shira is David. Yeah. And if you go through Tanakh, you'll see a bunch of different songs. So tonight we're going to talk about the Shiras HaBe'er. Now, Shiras HaBe'er is very short. It's a couple of verses, not very long at all. It says, Oz Yashi Yisrael as a Shira Azois, the Jewish people sang this song, Ali Ve'er Anula, let the well come up and answer. Ve'er Chavuru Asarim, it talks about how they dug the well. It was dug by different types of people. We'll talk about it. And it's very cryptic and very unclear what was this profound song that they were coming to sing. So I'll start off with a couple questions. The questions are like this. The Svasamas, he starts off like this. He says, the two main Shiras that we have is the one where they went through the splitting of the sea, Priyas Yamsif, the leaving Mitzrayim. And that one starts, how does that one start off? How does the song that we say it every day, what is that? How does that song start off? Of the Kriyas Yamsif. Right after the splitting of the sea, how does that one start?
We're just reading it, and I can't remember.
Oz Yashir, and then it says, then they sang, and who does it say that sang? It says, Oz Yashir Moshe, Ubnei Yisra. It says, Shira Hazos, Vayirmu Lashem. That means it says that, Oz Yashir, who sang that song? Who was the one that sang it? It was Yisrael, Moshe, Ubnei Yisra. Moshe, and the Jewish people. So Moshe sang the song, Uvene Yisrael. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvene Yisrael. That was the splitting of the sea. Now over here, who sang this song? Who sang it? If you look in chapter 21, Chaf Aleph, Yud Zayin, 21:17, where this song is, it says, Oz Yashir Yisrael, as a Shira Azayis. Over here, the Jewish people sang the song, and who is omitted? Who isn't mentioned? Moshe.
Does it or does not mention?
One more time?
It does not mention?
It does not mention. No, Moshe's name is omitted, which is a glaring omission. I don't think I noticed this until the Svasemeth pointed it out. But there's a glaring omission over here. It's word for word, the opening line. Az Yasher, over there it says Moshe ben Israel. Over here it just says Yisrael. That means this song was sang at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar. The first song was sang at the beginning, as they're about to enter the Midbar, the desert. There, Moshe and the people sang it. Over here it's just the people without Moshe, which is we need to understand that. The question is once you see it, you know, the question is glaring. Over there we have Moshe. Over here it's not Moshe. Over there's Moshe with the people. Over here it's just the people. That's his first question. So why doesn't it say Moshe Rabbeinu? Why doesn't Moses' name mentioned in this song? That's the main question we want to talk about. In general, we have to understand what was this song that they sang. What is the meaning of it? Very cryptic. I'll read you just a few lines of it. Very cryptic what the song is. It says, I'll read it to you in English. It says, the well that the princes dug, that the nobles of the people excavated, through a lawgiver with a staff, a gift from the wilderness. The gift
Wait, went say, to that, say that again, with a lawgiver?
Through a lawgiver with their staffs.
Well, the lawgiver is that could be Moshe.
That could be Moshe, right? But it still doesn't say his name. That's true. That is true. Well, we're going to get to that, and I think you're right. That's a valid point. Then it says, a gift from the wilderness. The gift went to the valley, from the valley to the heights, from the heights to the valley in the field of Moab at the top of the peak, overlooking the surface of the wilderness. That's it. Very, very, very cryptic. Very unclear. What is a song? And we know that there's so few songs in the Torah that a song signifies that they reached a certain pinnacle. The Sfasamas, and I heard this many times from Moshe Shapiro, he always explains that when you sing a song, is when you've got to the top of a certain point and you're completed a cycle and you're looking and you see the full picture and you see I have completed a circle and you break out in song. So singing a song is not just let's sing a song today. When they sang a Shira, that means that they had reached a certain point. What point had they reached over here that they're singing a song about? And what does it have to do with the well? What does it have to do with the Be'er? Why are they singing a song about water coming out that they dug, that came out miraculously? What is the big deal over here? And once again, why is Moshe's name omitted from the song? And it sounds like it was just the people themselves who sang the song. Those are the questions. So he goes on to say,
this portion is now considered the flipping over time, and we're 38 or 40 years in the future from where we were the last time.
It is out of order. That's right. It is out of order. This, I believe so. I believe this, that the commentaries say that this Shira was saying at the end of the 40 years. I don't know if it's out of order. Are you saying this is before Balak? Yeah, I believe very possibly that you're right, that this is out of order. But this is clearly, even if you want to say it's not the end of the 40, it's pretty much towards that. I mean, they're on the way to going to Eretz Yisrael. You know, they're that close. That the end of the period of their 40 years of wandering, even if it's maybe not on the last day, but definitely towards that. So the Sfasamas lays down the law. He lays down the principle. And we're going to see how we're going to expound on it with Hashem's help and apply it to a couple different places. So the words he says is like this. I think we maybe mentioned it last week. There are two types of Torah that we have. One of them is called Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. The other one is called Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah. Now that means the written Torah would be the five books, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. Then you have the prophets and the writings, Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. The oral Torah is the Torah that's not written down. We actually have it written down because by us it's written down in Mishnayos and a Gemara and anything else. But really, originally, the original plan was it was not written. It's actually forbidden to write it. And it's transmitted from teacher to student, who in turn gave it to his student, and it's handed down through the generations. And it's a Torah that's not written down. It's a Torah that is oral. It goes from me to you, from you to me. We each exchange, and that is the oral Torah. Now he explains what is the significance that the Torah is in two forms. You have what you call the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the Torah transmitted through man. You know, nothing in the Torah is random. So if we have two types of Torah, then they clearly signify something big. So he says the principle is like this. Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, is what comes from above down into this world. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven. Hashem gave him the Torah. He brought it down to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai, and brought it down into this world. Here it is. What did we do to contribute to that written Torah? Zero. We didn't do anything. It came down word for word, Luchos, with the Sefer Torah. It came down from Shammai. That means like this. The written Torah is what is drawn down from above down here into this world without anything done on our part. It's just God's word, pure, pristine. We didn't do anything. It came from above down to here. Torah Shebaal Peh is exactly the opposite. The oral Torah, what me and you are doing right now, we're talking, we're trying to figure out a concept in Torah. Where is it coming from? It's coming from us. We are drawing it from where? Where are we drawing our wellsprings of Torah from? From us. That means from down here, the very bottom of this whole ladder. We are at the bottom, we're on the earth, and we draw Torah out of us, out of ourselves, deep from our psyche, deep from our neshamas, from our souls, and we draw it and we, so to speak, send it up to Shemaim, to heaven. There's a complete opposite thing going on. The written Torah is what comes down from above down to here. The oral Torah is what we do down here. The Torah Shebichsav, we don't do anything. We don't touch it. We can't come along to the Sefer Torah and start writing a new Sefer Torah. We're not allowed to do that. It comes down and you got to leave it the way it is. But what we could do is we could write, a bookcase of Sefarim on our own. Now, don't make a mistake and think that that oral Torah that we write on our own is disconnected from the written Torah. Everything that we're introducing is all going to be just expounding on the words of the written Torah. That means nobody could write something which doesn't have a source somewhere in the written Torah. But at the end of the day, we are drawing it out of ourselves. We're making it a part of us. We are the ones that are opening the door. We are opening the wellsprings of wisdom of Torah in ourselves. So he says like this. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he is the one who has to do with the written Torah. He was the person who went up to Shemaim and he brought what was in heaven down here into earth. He brought down the written Torah. He says, for example, it was in the merit of Moshe that the manna, the man, came down to feed them during the Midbar, during the 40 years that they were in the desert. Now, what does it mean that you're eating man? Eating manna means that you open up your arms and bread comes down from Shemaim. It's called Lechem and Hashemaim. I think the commentaries say that the blessing they would make on it would be Hamotzi Lechem min Hashemaim. That bread, you who extracted bread from Shemaim. Now, what bracha, what blessing do we make on bread? We say Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz, who extracted bread from the ground, because we got to draw the bread out of the ground. But the man came from Shemaim. That's written Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one that brought it down. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. He says a well. What is a well? What is a spring? What is that? A spring is the epitome of what you would call something coming up from deep in the ground. That's what a well spring is. A well, a spring, a fountain of water is you got to dig it. Many times these wells, if you don't dig them, you're not going to find the source of water. But many times you're going to dig deep into the ground. And suddenly, you're going to bump into a spring, a natural spring, and that spring is going to come upwards. And he says the well signifies the concept of us digging, trying to comprehend on our own, using our brains, our physical brains, and our hearts, and our minds, and our body to understand Torah, and opening up well springs from down here. Moshe didn't do that. Moshe didn't open up anything down here. Moshe brought down what was up there down to here. But we, the Jewish nation, are the ones who are tasked with making that a part of ourselves so much so that we could actually make that Torah part of us, that we could open up a concept in Torah. That means that the Torah has become so much a part of us that we ourselves could say a chadash. We could say something new in Torah. We could open up a wellspring. So he says like this. When they were leaving Mitzrayim, when they were leaving Egypt, and they were about to go to receive the Torah, then they sang a song, because at that point, things had been opened. It says that they saw revelations that no prophet was even able to see, at the splitting of the sea. They received the Torah. They were at such a level that what they saw at that point was tremendous. So it was even greater than the prophet Yechezkel. Even though every lowly person saw more than what Yechezkel saw in his great vision. But who was the one that brought those visions down to them? Who was the one that opened up for them that wisdom? That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu drawing it down. They didn't do anything. They weren't worthy of leaving Mitzrayim. They were at the 49th level of impurity. The Jewish people hadn't done anything. That was just a gift that was given to them. So who sang that song when they saw those revelations? Moshe. Yisrael. Moshe ben Israel, because Moshe was the one that gave them that Torah. He was the one that gave them those gifts. So the Jewish people sang it, but only through Moshe, because he was the one that brought those wellsprings down into the world. At the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, it wasn't about Moshe anymore, because now the Torah had become a part of us, so much so that the people themselves from down here were able to dig wells. The people down here were able to say that the Torah is so much connected to us that we ourselves could understand the concept in the Torah. We could write a sefer. We could discuss Torah and squeeze out an understanding that wasn't explained before. Who sings this song of the well? The well which signifies what comes from down here, not what comes from above, not Moshe. Who's the one that's going to sing that song? The song of the well.
The people themselves.
That's going to be us. That's going to be us. And we're not going to talk about Moshe. Because Moshe was the one that started it. But now it's about us. It's about what did the B'nai Yisrael were able to accomplish alone after they received the Torah. Now we ourselves are able to dig a well and we're able to sit ourselves in a room and study Torah. We're able to sit ourselves and do a mitzvah and unearth godliness from a world where previously you couldn't see God. We are able to come into a city. We're able to live in a town. We're able to go to the workforce, go to the workplace, wherever it may be. We're able to be there. We could be in a grocery store and we could dig a well. We could uncover godliness. We are the ones that are doing that. Moshe is not doing that. It's not coming from above. We are the ones that are doing it from down here. That's the well, and that is the song of the Be'er. The Shiras HaBe'er is about the song of the Jew realizing that he himself has become so connected that he could now dig, he could uncover, we could bring about godliness, and we could send it up. Now that we got the shipment from down, from above down here, now we could actually dig and send our own offerings back above. Every time we do a mitzvah, what we're doing to Hashem is we're saying that we're down here, we're sending you a package. You sent us a package, you gave us the written Torah. We're going to send you a package, the oral Torah. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebavah. That's the basic concept, which is a beautiful, beautiful concept. And I want to go with the Sfasamis. And he goes on and he applies this in many different ways. But I hope so far the basic concept is clear. So like this. He goes on to say, he brings from his grandfather, the son called Berchas HaTorah. We make a blessing over the Torah. Now we make, what somebody gets an aliyah. Somebody's called up to the Sefer Torah at shul. So this, you get an aliyah. Now what do? We make how many blessings do we make? How many brachas do we make? We're going to make one before we start reading the Torah. That's called the blessing before. Hashem bacharbanu mikol ha'amim, v'nasan lanu es terasei, that he chose us from all the nations and he gave us his Torah. And then when we finish reading the Torah, we're going to make another blessing. And we're going to say, Hashanah san lanu tarasa, that he gave us a Torah of truth, v'chaye olam nata b'zecheinu, and a life, eternal life he planted with us. So there are two brachas. One before you learn, one after you learn. What are these two brachas about? This thing that I'm about to say, as I'm saying it, I just thought of a new understanding in what he's about to say, which I want to share with you. And you'll tell me if you like it or not. The Svasama says like this. Says there's a bracha before you read the Torah, there's a bracha after you read the Torah. Where else is there that we make a bracha before and we make a bracha after? What else is there that we do during the day where there's a blessing before and there's a blessing after? What other concept is there of a bracha before and after? Does anybody want to try?
One is when we eat.
That's right. That's right. When we eat. When we eat, we make a bracha before and we make a bracha after. Right. So, exactly right. Now, it's amazing because there are two things, and we have to understand how these two things are connected. There are two things that we make a bracha before and we make a bracha after. One of them is before we learn and after we learn. The other one is before we eat and after we eat, which is, what are those two things come together?
Well, they're both sustenance. One is the sustenance for our physical body, and one is our spiritual sustenance.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, having said that, the question would be that why do we make a blessing before and after? That means if you want to make a blessing, make a blessing. You want to make a bracha, so say a bracha. But what is the concept of making a bracha before making a bracha after? Food and Torah. So you're right, that both of them have to do with sustenance. One would be Torah sustenance, one is physical nourishment. But why is it that you're making two brachas? Either make one before, make one after. Why do we make one before and we make one after? Well, that's maybe, the question.
You're eating.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No. Yeah, Yechiel, go.
Maybe because, I mean, we see the first one as a gift. And the second one, if we start using the gift, we appreciate the gift that we get.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I was thinking too. So you said.
There we go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, you're definitely all saying the right thing. I'm going to say the way this Fasama says it, which is pretty much what you all say. He says like this. He brings it from his grandfather. The bracha that we make, let's talk about food. The bracha that we make before we eat, like you said, is about the gift that you gave us food. So thank you, Hashem, for giving us food. Now that we ate it and we feel satisfied and we're satiated, then we're making a bracha on the fact that this food that you gave us was able to sustain us, that we appreciate what it did for us. Now, there's a very interesting halacha. We know that we're not allowed to make, how long do you have to make the bracha after? It doesn't go on forever. Right? You could only make, like somebody washes, you know, you have some bread, challah, Shabbos, the week, whatever it is. You can only make your bracha afterwards, your berachas hamazon, only as long as you still feel satiated. If it's been more than, I think, 72 minutes, you can't make the bracha anymore. The reason is because the bracha that you're making afterwards is a bracha on the fact that the food has done its job. Food has done the trick. So if you're not feeling any more satisfied, you can't say, thank you, Hashem, that the food did its job if I'm feeling hungry again. So you can only make the bracha to appreciate the satisfaction of the nourishment of the food so long that you're feeling nourished. But if you're ready for your next meal, so then, and you're ready, the food's gone already, so then you can't make the blessing afterwards anymore. Because the bracha before is, thank you for giving me this gift. The bracha afterwards is always about that I received the gift. So we can only make the bracha so long as we still are appreciating the gift. Now, what does this have to do with Torah? So it's beautiful. The bracha that we make before Torah is the bracha, what you would call, thank you, Hashem, for giving me the gift of Torah. Thank you. Torah Shebichsav, written Torah, you gave me Torah. I didn't do anything. You sent down a package called Torah. That's the, like before we're eating, thank you for the food. We're going to say thank you for giving us the gift of the Torah. The bracha that we make after we finish learning, after we finish reading the Torah, is going to be a bracha that thank you for allowing this Torah to now become a part of me. Mm-hmm. And now it's not just that there's an external gift that's above that I could read a Sefer Torah and I could look at it. But now it's actually about that this Torah has now become a part of me. Now I and the Torah am one. Now I myself could learn this Torah and uncover something in the Torah. It's a part of me. Just like the food sustained me and became a part of me, so through the Torah that I learned is not just external, but the Torah planted itself inside the person, that now the person and the Torah became one. So much so that we ourselves could uncover Torah and send a package back above. So that's the bracha before and the bracha after. Now take a look. This is what I'm thinking. And the Sfasamas, he alludes to this. So I think this is what he means. He says like this. Look, take a look at the blessing that we make before the Torah and after the Torah. And you'll see the difference. And this is exactly the point. The bracha that we make before is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim, that you chose us from amongst all the nations. V'Natzalanu Torasek, and you gave us the Torah. That bracha is nothing to do with us. It's just saying, thank you, Hashem, for the gift. Thank you for choosing us. Shabbachah banim mikol ha'amim, you chose us from amongst all the nations, that we should be the ones to receive your gift. Thank you. Thank you for v'nasan lanu as terase. You gave us the Torah. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us the Torah. That the bracha before is, we haven't done anything. Thank you for allowing from above to come down, and thank you for choosing us. Because Hashem could have chosen anybody. Chose us, he chose the Jewish nation. Thank you for the gift of the Torah. What is the bracha that we make afterwards? After we finish learning, we say a completely different bracha. We say it like this, Hashem nasan lanu Torah emes, that you gave to us the Torah of truth. So that's talking about the Torah that he gave to us. And then what do we say? V'chaye olam nata besochena. That means that you planted inside us an eternal life, which is amazing. We're now saying that first, after you gave us the Torah, now what did you do with that Torah? You planted it inside us. V'chaye olam nata b'zachin, you planted this thing called Torah inside me. That means after I finished learning, I'm saying thank you, Hashem, that now you've planted the Torah inside me. And what happens when the Torah is planted inside me? Once it's planted inside me, if I want to study Torah, where do I need to look? I don't need to look up anymore. I can look here. Well, I got to look inside. I could look deep inside me. Because after I've studied Torah, that Torah, if studied correctly, becomes a part of me. And now I could actually dig my own well. I could dig from here. I could uncover Torah for myself. And I could send a package above. I could walk around and I could see Torah. I could uncover a new thought. I could understand. I could dig and dig and dig and bring up more water and send it back up. So before the Torah, there's nothing in us. It's just coming from above. That's motion. That's the Sefer Torah. But after we're finished reading from the Sefer Torah, we now say that that Sefer Torah has been planted inside me. And that's a new bracha. That's like after I finish eating. I'm saying that it's not just that the Sefer Torah is in the Aron HaKodesh and it has nothing to do with me. It's just an external thing. I'm saying that now that I read from the Torah, when I read, what happens is that that Torah becomes a part and a parcel of the person. And he says like this. I'm actually going, if you give me a second, I'm going to, next Thursday is actually going to be Shavas of Thomas, 17th of Thomas, which is the day that the Luchos was smashed. The original Luchos was smashed. Now, next Thursday, since it's going to be a fast day, there won't be class next Thursday. So it just came into my head right now, the Sfasamis, what he says about the day of 17th of Thomas, and it's actually related to this point that we're talking about. So maybe if you give me a second, let me just pull up this piece because I think I know where it is. If not, I'm going to move on. Maybe it's in this one. Give me 30 seconds, otherwise I'm going to move on. But the reason why this is related is because... Sorry, 1 second. Okay, I'm going to have to say it by heart. I hope what I'm saying is right. But he says like this. The Gemara teaches us like this, that the difference between the first Luchos, the first tablets that we got, and the second ones, the Gemara says that if we would have had the first luchos today, if they wouldn't have been broken, they were broken on the 17th of Tammuz because we served the Chet HaEgel. If we wouldn't have had them broken, the Gemara says we would have never forgotten a word of Torah in our lives. We would have never forgotten a word of Torah in our lives. That means every word of Torah that we would have read, that Torah would become a part of us, you would never forget it. Just like we never forget, does anybody ever forget that they have a hand, that they have a head, that they're something that's on them? Do they ever forget that they have 2 feet? You don't forget such things because it's a part of you. So if the first luchos would not have been smashed, then no one would have ever forgotten any words of Torah. But after the luchos was smashed, even though we received the second luchos, now it's already possible to forget Torah. However, yeah, I found the piece right over here. Right over here. Now he says like this, that even though the luchos was smashed, we still have the pieces of the luchos. They're just broken. That means that it's not all lost. And it says that when Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, it's brought down that those original pieces are going to come back together. Which means that having luchos, which Moshe Rabbeinu brings down from Shemaim, is a level where the Jew just gets it, it becomes ingrained on his heart, and it's done. Doesn't have to do anything. You read the Torah becomes a part of you, it's a done deal. Now that the luchos were broken, we got a new luchos. But we still have the pieces of the first one. What that means is that we need to work now much harder to make that Torah a part of us. We could do it because we still have the pieces. But it's not as easy as it used to be. It used to be that you learned Torah, the Torah became a part of you. Never forgot it. Now that these first luchos are broken on the 17th of Tammuz, we still have the pieces, but we need to now work a lot harder on planting that Torah inside us. That is what we lost when we lost the first luchos. We lost the ease of how much it was that the Torah became planted v'chaye olam nachta b'secheinu. And that's why it's possible to forget Torah today. That's why we could study Torah and we could forget it. How could it be that we forget Torah? We only forget it because it's not a part of us the way it should be. If we would study Torah and ingrain it inside ourselves, we would never forget that. Like I said, just like we never forget that we're alive, we would never forget that we have the Torah. We would never forget the Torah that we learned. But because the luchos were broken, we now have the ability to forget. But our job is to sing a song, and that song is called the Shiras HaBe'er, that we still have the ability to look deep within inside us and find those broken pieces of the first luchos, because they're still there, they're just broken. So we still have the ability, it's just so much harder. And that's what we're missing, right? The fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and the fact that we don't have prophecy, and the fact that we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu with us, and the fact that the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is not open. Because when things are open, they came inside us so much easier. When things are hidden, we need to be the ones to dig that well. If there wouldn't be a Jew in the world right now who would try to uncover God, within about 45 seconds, the concept of God would be forgotten from the world. He's disappearing. If you look at it from the surface, how much godliness do you see in the world? How much of God do you see in the world? If you look at it on the surface, where do you see Hashem? Show me a place where somebody can tell you he sees Hashem clearly. We are the ones that were given the task to dig the well. To dig the well means to uncover him, to show the world and show ourselves that we could find Torah, which is hidden in the world. The Torah is here. All the pieces are here. We need to be the ones to dig and uncover it. We are the ones that go through the world and we say that every single world event is not random. Every single world event is Hashem speaking to us. We could see Torah everywhere. We could see Hashem wherever we look. But we need to be the ones to uncover it. And that is the song that they sang at the end of the 40 years, after Moshe had done his piece, and he gave them the Torah. Now they're going to sing a song on their own. We are going to be the ones to sing the song without Moshe, because we are the ones that could say, "V'chaye olam nata v'zecheinu," that you are the ones that planted this inside us. Now he says, it's very beautiful, it's moving. He says one final piece, and we'll end with this. If you look, I'll read you one verse that it says in the Shira. Two verses, actually. It says, Be'er chaf baru hasarim. It's the well that the princes dug. Karuha nedive yam. Nedive ha'am. The nobles of the people excavated. He says what that means is that if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have given us the written Torah, then we would have nothing. We wouldn't be able to dig a well because where are we digging from? We never got the Torah. So we're saying like this, the nobles, the big people, Moshe Rabbeinu, you were the one that dug it. Now that you dug it, we could then come along with our staffs and we could uncover that well that was dug already. We can't be the ones to dig it originally. If Moshe wouldn't have given us the written Torah from Shemaim down here into us, if we would have never been given the Sefer Torah, the Luchos, we would never be able to uncover Torah in this world. But because Chafaru HaSarim, because the nobles, because the big people brought it down, now we could come along. The people, Karur Nadive Ha'am, B'mechokik B'mishanaisim, we could, in the desert, a gift from the wilderness, we could be the ones to now uncover what was already given to us. Now, there's one more verse, and it says in the verse, "Umi midbar matana," and from the desert, it was given to us as a gift. And the question is, what is this final concept that we're saying, that in the desert, it was given to us as a gift? And here it gets a little bit delicate. That means having said all this, it was given to us as a gift. What does it mean? If we're the ones that are uncovering it, what does it mean that was given to us as a gift? Is it us or is it a gift? So he says like this. He does this is the final point he says. He brings down a chazal, he brings down the source from our sages that say something fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu, he went up to Shemayim. He went up to heaven. And how long was he there for? 40 days and 40 nights. And what did he do? He studied Torah. He learned the entire Torah for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I never knew this. Our sages tell us that at the end of those 40 days, he forgot it all. He forgot everything he had learned. And then Hashem gave it back to him as a gift. That means like this, something amazing. That means he spent 40 days and 40 nights straight without sleeping, without eating, without drinking, studying Torah. He learned the entire Torah, whatever that means, however that's possible. At the end, he forgets it, and Hashem gave it to him as a gift. Because he says like this, and this really ties into what we spoke about last week. At the end of the day, to receive Torah, to understand Torah, is always going to be a gift from Hashem. All we could do is do the work. All we could do is the yigia, what you would call the toil. We could put in the effort. But at the end of the day, for a human being to understand Torah is always going to be a gift. That means that we could do the work. When we do the work, even though we spoke about tonight, how we are the ones that uncover it. But at the end of the day, we do the effort to uncover. But who's the one that actually gives it to us? Hashem gives it to us as a gift. Which means that we could do all the work. Hashem will give it to us, but we need to do the work. So the process goes, and this, he says, this one means to be midbar matana, from the desert, it gets given to us as a gift. That means give me 1 second. Sorry, my apologies. That means that the process goes like this. We get the Torah from above. The written Torah comes from the top down to the bottom. Then it becomes planted inside us. Then we do the effort to uncover it, and then Hashem allows us to have it as a gift. And that's what it means to be midbar matana. So the end of the day, our job is to be at the bottom, receive from above, plant it inside us, make it part of us, that we're never going to forget it. It's not just going to be an external thing that we read the Torah. The Torah that we're learning becomes planted in us. Then we need to do the effort to go around and uncover Torah down here in this world. Show the world, show ourselves, show our families how Hashem is here in this world. Flip over every stone and say that you thought Hashem wasn't there, Hashem is right here. But at the end of the day, who's going to be the one that will allow us to do that? It will be Hashem. At the end of the day, it's all going to be a gift. All we do is all the effort. And when we do the effort, Hashem gives it to us as a gift. I'll end with this. The same place you have such a thing is when Our sages teach us that we're in the mother's womb. The angel teaches us the entire Torah, right? The entire Torah the angel teaches us. Then we're born. The angel goes like that. We forget the entire Torah. And then we're here in this world. And we got to learn it again. And the same thing. Questions, what's the point? What is the point? What if the angel wanted us to know the entire Torah, why did he make us forget it? If he didn't want us to know it, why did he ever teach it? So what's going on over here? So I heard this from Rav Moshe Shapiro, and explained like this. It's exactly the same concept. If the angel would have never taught us Torah, then we would never have the ability to study Torah. Because how? How are we going to study Torah? From where? It's got to be planted in us somehow. If it's not planted in us, how are we, as human beings, going to study Torah? So we first need Hashem to send the angel to teach us the entire Torah. What he does is he plants the entire Torah inside us. He plants the Torah inside us. Then the angel makes us forget it. It means he puts a block on it. He covers over the well. He covers it with a layer of earth. Because there's no point in us coming into the world and knowing it all. That's not what we're here for. Then our job as human beings is to dig the well and uncover what was inside us. That means that our job is always about uncovering the wellsprings from inside us. Who planted those wellsprings? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angel. They planted it in us, but they covered it over. And our job is to uncover it. And this is why the Shiras HaBe'er, the song of the well, is such a profound song. It's the song that who sang it? The Bnei Yisrael. Not Moshe. He gave it to us. But now it's about us. It's about that we merited to uncover Torah from deep, deep within ourselves. When we do this, then we perfect the world because we show the world how the Torah is right here. You don't have to look for it. You just need to flip over the stone. You just got to dig. If you dig, you're going to find Hashem. Making sense?
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yasher Cook.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So reminder that next Thursday night there won't be class because it will be Shavuot Batamis. It's a fast day. So we're going to pick up again the week after. The week after, we're going to be doing like a two-week series leading up to Tisha B'Av. So the week after Shavuot Batamis, we'll have two Thursdays between there and Tisha B'Av, and we'll do will be 2 weeks. Each one will be focused on one aspect of the 3 weeks of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that will be the lead up to Tisha B'Av.
Shakar.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos.